WrestleChat.net and the North American Wrestling Connection remember the life and career of Macho Man Randy Savage.
One of the greater wrestlers of the 1980s, as we found out this morning via TMZ.com, that Randy Poffo, a.k.a. Macho Man Randy Savage, dead at 58 from a serious car accident, possibly from an onset of a heart attack while he was behind the wheel. His wife of almost a year, Lynn, survived with minor injuries, and I believe she's already out of the hospital. So, sad news to start tonight with the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Mickey Heyman. And before I fall completely to pieces, I am going to introduce the rest of the panel. First, our fine moderator and the man running the board this evening, Mr. Carl Chenier. Thank you.
Good evening. You're welcome.
Our recent graduate from the University of Toledo, Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Good evening.
And our number four tonight, our resident legal correspondent, Mr. DJ Peckin.
Thanks for having me on, everybody. And it's sobering news, certainly, but it'll be nice to celebrate the life of Randall Poffo tonight.
We already have somebody else in. I will bring Jason, I'll have you in here in just a minute.
Not a problem. Thank you.
I just wanted to share that, you know, I was at my shoot job today, and being bored out of my mind, I had to take a peek on one of the message boards I frequent, and this would happen to be the top headline. From there, it spread. The news apparently did spread like wildfire. From there, I received 3 different phone calls, several texts, a tweet, and about a half a dozen IMs from coworkers, including non-wrestling fan coworkers, because that's how well-known Randy Savage is. He was probably the number 2 to Hulk Hogan during the rock and wrestling era of the 1980s. And you guys have been fans longer than I have, so you could probably better speak to this. Carl, I'll start with you.
Wow. Where do I begin? Whew.
Would you like to, I can pass this around.
Yeah, go ahead and pass it around real quick.
Actually, bring Jason.
Jason.
Yeah. This one has hit me pretty much harder than anybody, because Randy Savage was the guy who I saw main event my first live card in 1986. 85, 86, something like that. And this was an incident which has gone legendary because he had just won the title, and he fought Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase in a cage, and Virgil was climbing up the cage near the end of the match, and a child about 12 years old actually got out, climbed the cage to try and stop Virgil live in front of 20,000 people in a sold-out Madison Square Garden. But Macho Man Randy Savage was one of the few people who transcended wrestling because of his character and larger-than-life persona. Everyone knows the "ooh, yeah" sort of thing. He was a commercial spokesperson for Slim Jim, to the point where a press release this afternoon from Slim Jim recognized his passing. That's how much of a guy he was. This is just huge. I mean, he was the second biggest star of the 80s, as you pointed out, Nikki. I mean, this is devastating. Devastating.
Now, DJ, you posted on the fan board that you've actually had the honor of meeting Savage.
No. I've not met Randy himself. I met his brother, Lanny.
Okay.
That was last year, and I'll get to that later, I guess. But what I wanted to say about Randy is that Savage was a broadcaster by the time I started watching wrestling. That was about 1993, 1994. In that area, he appeared on WWF Mania, which was the Saturday morning program I watched religiously. He was off and on with Todd Pettengill. And usually, with the exception of his Mania match, I think it was WrestleMania 10 against Crush, most of what I remember from Savage in the ring is his matches in WCW. During the Monday Night War era. And one of my favorite all-time WCW moments involved Savage. I can remember he had some kind of a sit-in on Nitro to start the show where he said, "I'm not leaving until I get answers." And I don't know if it was Eric Bischoff or whatever, but, they were starting matches and they were standing in the corner of the ring, and there's Savage, sitting in the middle of the ring in a folding chair, and the crowd is so hot for him, and they're like, "What do we do?" And he, proceeded to throw everybody out. Doug Dillinger threw him out of the ring, threw all these wrestlers, and the crowd just ate it up. They loved him, and, I loved Macho Man Randy Savage. I can remember I used to watch every WCW pay-per-view in the mid-90s, and for whatever reason, I missed World War III. It was one of their answer to the Royal Rumble, and I can remember the next day, and it was in, November of, I think it was 96 or 97, and it was just that's when, you couldn't get on the internet to see the results of the pay-per-view. And I can remember we were at the Fantasy and Lights Christmas Parade and begging my mom and dad to go home because I wanted to catch Nitro. I wanted to see who won World War III. And getting home and, when you're 10 years old, 9, 10 years old, and you see that one of your favorite wrestlers was able to win it, that was a pretty cool moment. But, Macho Man Randy Savage, his effect was beyond the wrestling ring. I mean, Jason said it. He's one of those figures who everyone who wasn't necessarily a fan of wrestling, you knew who he was. And we kind of lament the use of the word entertainment, but, Randy Savage, in addition to being a great wrestler, he was a great entertainer. He was Bonesaw McGraw in Spider-Man, the Slim Jim spokesman. In Pomp and Circumstance, that music, you associate that with Macho Man. I mean, the graduation I've ever been to, I hear that music, and I anticipate a Macho Man run-in. So, he's a great figure. It's so sad that we lost him at a young age of 58. And Jason, you mentioned the Slim Jim tie-in. Darren Revelle, the sports business reporter for CNBC, posted on his Twitter page today, and this is so ironic, that on the day Macho Man Randy Savage passed away, there was a Slim Jim factory in North Carolina that closed today, which is one of the main producers of Slim Jims in this country. And it's just so ironic that it happened on the day that we lost the Macho Man.
You touched on his role as Bonesaw McGraw. His other big role after he pretty much had left the wrestling business in its entirety around 2004 is he started getting a little bit of work as a cartoon voice, and he would pop up in the strangest places. I believe he had he did voice work on Space Ghost Coast to Coast. He showed up
before his retirement.
Was it before?
That was back in the late 90s.
Okay, sorry. I know he was on Space Ghost Coast to Coast. He showed up on Dexter's Laboratory. He's done two or three others. I don't have it in front of me, but
Family Guy, I believe.
Could someone IMDb while we take a quick look? Because I'm not in front of my computer right now.
I might be able to do that. Give me a second and get another window going. But it was one of these things that Macho could step away from the business and still make a pretty size, make a good buck, have a good time doing it. And Sapboy, since you kind of beat me to the punch on this, I'm sure you've got a story or two.
I sadly really don't, because most of my story is much the same as DJ's. I got to start watching wrestling a little bit earlier than he did, so I was able to catch the tail end of his WWF career, but otherwise it's been mostly the same.
Okay, here we go.
I've really got not much of anything tonight.
I think the one you were looking for was the Axis.
The Axis, King of the Hill, Duck Dodgers of the 24th and a half century, Bolt, and then Family Guy.
Yeah, Bolt was the one that a lot of people recognized him for. Bolt was a pretty big Disney movie a few years back.
Yeah, back in 08. It actually did decently in the box office. Not magnificently as some of the other Walt Disney movies, but didn't do badly. $300
million. He had an appearance in King of the Hill. You guys mentioned Family Guy and Duck Dodgers. Showed up on an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger. And then all the rest of it is wrestling related. But it was one of those things, he really didn't need the business. He went out there and stayed in character and had a grand old time. The timing of his past is all the more tragic when you hear a couple of other little factoids. For example, tomorrow was to be his first anniversary with his new wife.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
The other big thing is the fact that he was finally starting to mend fences with the Fed, as we saw with the release of a Macho Man Randy Savage figure through Mattel's line, and that he is being featured in the new WWE All-Stars game, which, had people's hopes up. We're going to see him again, not necessarily in the ring, but I think people were hoping for a Hall of Fame bid. Now, I'll throw this out there, guys. Next year, is this our posthumous Hall of Fame inductee?
Without a doubt. If Vince doesn't...
In my mind.
Oh, yeah.
They damn well better.
Yeah.
And, Carl, cue up the wind sound for me, please, because I'm going to have a little arrogant moment here.
All right.
Mr. Sapp was... was a man born in November 15th, 1952, in my current backyard of Columbus, Ohio. Darn.
I was making sure.
Just for those who, and also continuing the thaw that happened over the last the last few years. There was a release of a very well-received three-disc DVD Macho Man collection.
Yes.
I believe, which was either last year or 09.
It was 09.
Okay. And also the fact, as you said, that Macho Man was involved with the video game campaign of All-Stars. There was a couple of videos he did for them. And also, he is also prominent in a DVD set, which I also just picked up, called The Best of Raw Seasons 1 and 2, where he both wrestled and announced. So, for those who don't know him or know of him, those are the best videos to check right now to get a sense of who he was.
Yes.
I just wanted to add to the thoughts on... seemingly continuation of the WWE's relationship with Macho Man, to me, and I don't want to turn it into this discussion. I'm just, to me, it's just a shame that Vince is so petty. I mean, the WWE.com announcement today, it listed the dates that he was contracted with the company, so to make it seem like, this death didn't occur while it was on the WWE's watch, so... as far as the Hall of Fame is concerned, I guess Lanny had insisted in interviews within the last year, I guess, that Randy had denied WWE's efforts to get him into the Hall unless his father was also inducted. He said he didn't want to go in without his dad, like a combo package, the likes of Rocky Johnson and Peter Maivia that had been inducted by The Rock. So I think now that in the wake of his untimely death, it would be appropriate to induct both Poffos. Since Angelo is a legend in his own right, and I think it'd be a nice gesture on WWE's part, to honor one of Randy's last wishes and then too, to honor the memory of the patriarch of the Poffo family.
I can, but you, before you condemn Vince on this, though, you've got to realize that Angelo Poffo actually work for the WWF, or even the 3WF, prior to that? That's probably what where part of the sticking point is. Not, I'm not trying to tarnish or Randy in this case. I see it. That could be a potential sticking point with Vince, but that might just be me.
Well, they did induct Vern Gagne. I mean, I know he was a slightly bigger figure outside of the WWF bubble, but they have, I guess, they have inducted inducted people. I mean, Vince's limo driver is one of the guys who was inducted. So there are people who, I guess, weren't necessarily figures in front of the WWF camera who have been inducted.
It could still happen, and it has a much better chance of happening. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of people have commented that, you know, we would have loved to have heard that induction speech from Macho.
Outstanding. Agreed. But I really don't think the whole contractual thing is a CYA. I really don't, because Macho Poffo worked in 3 feds, okay? He worked in TNA, he worked in
WCW,
and he also worked in the WWE, so.
What about Memphis?
You'll have to talk to Lawler about that.
He was in Mid-South, I believe, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
To get back to one of your prior points, too, I mean, in order to bring back Bret Hart, you know, after a 13-year exile, part of the agreement was for them to induct Stu Hart into the Hall of Fame. And he never, ever worked for the Fed. Now, he fathered 2 children who were prominent in the WWF/WWE, but so did Angelo Poffo. So that could have been a part of an agreement to bring back Macho Man, and look at how the fans clamored for it. I mean, in Macho Man's DVD, there was no biography, there was no documentary, it was just straight matches, and it was set up by, I think, Maria and Matt Stryker, who, unbeknownst to me, I don't think have any connection to the Macho Man. So they could have done a proper DVD, they could have, you know, brought him back for Monday Night Raw, and could have brought him back to WrestleMania weekend, and it could have been a big thing. So that's just my opinion, I guess.
No, that's fine. I'll just let you guys know if you didn't see it on the Facebook page that we use. I am partially suspending the knee and 3 rule because I know that, you know, outside of a couple of us, that there's a lot of Randy Savage stories that still need to be told. So I'm going to go ahead and open up a line here. Carl, let's hear from Jim Williams, please.
All right. And I'll go ahead and step out.
Well, you don't have to go anywhere if you don't want to, Josh, or do you need to go?
I'm just not going to be really talking tonight, so, yeah, I'll be hanging out in the chat room.
That's fine, Fatboy. Go ahead.
All right. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Fatboy Josh Henniger, ladies and gentlemen, and let me bring in our wonderful, wonderful sound man who reassembled us a 10-bell salute and a proper introduction for tonight's show, Mr. Jim Williams.
Good evening, Nikki. Good evening, everybody. Just it's been 12 hours plus since learning of his passing, and I found out on Facebook, like God knows how many people, and, you know, saw the link on TMZ and was completely and utterly shell-shocked. I mean, this is a guy who transcends, I think Jason hit it on the head, he transcends just being a pro wrestler or a pro wrestling fan. There was major mainstream appeal with the Macho Man, with the Slim Jim commercials, with the acting, with the voiceover stuff. He did it all, and you know what? He was, like you guys said, when you think of the late 80s, early 90s, and if you want to be technical, right into the WCW years, when you think of the top people at the top of the ladder, you're going to say Hulk Hogan, and not far behind, you're going to say Randy Savage.
Yeah. if I remember correctly, and my mind probably shouldn't even be remembering silly stuff like this, but Savage, I know Savage didn't do his own voice, but when they did the rock and wrestling show, he was part of that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just the electricity, well, the electricity of his character, whether in this goofy cartoon or just better yet, let him come bursting through the curtain in whatever plethora of those colors he wants to conjure up, which of course has also elicited a great deal of condolences, shock, and sadness, not only from fans, but from other workers, and definitely from the, if I may, upper echelons of the WWE universe. Many, many of the wrestlers have chimed in on Twitter about this, including even Randy Savage's maybe number one worker fan, Jay Lethal, who had made a statement on there. I was tempted, but I didn't think it would go over very well to post pictures of Black Machismo, since I never had the honor or opportunity to see Savage perform in person. I don't think that would be, you know, conducive to the memory of Randy. I don't. But what do you think, guys?
I don't know, but I mean, literally every wrestler who has been on Twitter, including, by the way, and believe it or not, I'm gonna be shocked. You're gonna be shocked that I say this. A very classy Hulk Hogan, if you don't mind me saying so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because he admitted something which was kind of very interesting. He stated that he and him were supposedly talking again after a long, long, very negative relationship over the last few years. If you remember, if you were in the Florida area for many years, there was a Hogan-Savage war on the radio to the point where both of each other challenged each other physically on the radio.
And if I remember correctly, during the early days of TNA, one of the sticking points about trying to get Hogan in there was because of Savage and vice versa. The two of them just didn't want to be in the same building with each other, if I remember correctly.
Back then? Yeah. Yeah. And Hogan classily said, I'm not going to comment until it's confirmed, which is a good thing, especially with a couple of Hogan's tweets lately. And then when he confirmed the news, he was very classy and very contrite, and I give him credit. And like I said, every wrestler who has been on Twitter right now has commented, pretty much. And it said pretty much the same thing.
You're right, Jason.
Go ahead, DJ.
Absolutely, and for me, that was the Hulk Hogan tweets, along with this being almost the one-year anniversary of his marriage to his latest wife. That was kind of the most bittersweet news for me out of this, because it's, like I said in my opening, you know, it's pretty sobering. You know, the Lord can take you at any time, and for me, at least, there's some peace, and I'm sure for Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage, and knowing that, you know, they made amends. Because, you never want to go and meet your maker having regrets, and you never want to have anger in your heart. And, you know, it's good to see that they patched up that relationship to some degree.
At least we hope they did.
Right.
I mean, if Hogan's being, excuse my language, a self-aggrandizing prick, this is the worst time to do it. And I'm giving Hogan the benefit of the doubt here. I really and truly am.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, too, about Twitter that was mentioned, I mean, everybody, Savage had an effect on everybody that's a worker, because you either grew up idolizing him. I mean, that was the subject of a lot of tweets, hey, he's the reason that I got into this business, or people that worked with him. Chris Jericho said, amongst other people, he said, I learned a lot from, he used the term Mach as the nickname, you know, I learned a lot from him. So a lot of the guys, they were either inspired by him, like you said, Jay Lethal, Nikki, or, you know, guys that worked with him,
you know, kind of saw his how creative he was and his passion for the business and his work ethic. So, you know, everybody in some way, shape, or form was affected by his life and by his ultimately by his passing.
And there's been, you know, of those condolences, there is a beautiful picture that I managed to snag off fan boards to post of Mr. Savage in all his fine regalia, but all in white. And he's climbing the stairway to heaven.
Mm. And to be really serious there, hopefully he will be reunited with Miss Elizabeth and they both will truly find peace.
Yes, absolutely.
And Sherry,
I was going to say something like this. If Sherry's going to be there, there will be no peace.
What?
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, you think she's really there?
Oh,
come on. Let's open that can of worms.
No, I'm sorry. Okay.
Have a little fun, a little brevity on this kind of show is okay.
Just a little fun, okay? Because, look.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. To go back, now, here, again, us older folks, okay, we all know that one of the cardinal rules about weddings is wrestling weddings never go well, except for one, if you remember correctly. SummerSlam 91 is when Elizabeth and him got married, all right, but it wasn't the wedding that was the problem. If you remember, it was the engagement party, because the engagement party was ruined by one Jake the Snake Roberts. Do you remember, for those who are older? Anybody?
It was before I started watching.
No, I'm just saying, what happened was is that Jake the Snake put in a snake in one of the gift boxes and it bit Elizabeth. Remember, that was a big deal back then.
Right. Was the Undertaker present there, Jason, too?
No. This was like 91.
Okay.
Yeah, because
Undertaker's late 90s, so. No. Remember, you know, Jake the Snake and him had a big deal. But the wedding in SummerSlam 91 was an absolutely huge deal because it actually went through and together.
That was the match made in heaven, correct?
Right, the match made in heaven, yes. Of course, we cannot, talk about Randy Savage and not talk about a match, which I actually popped in a disc. By the way, a very good documentary called The True Story of WrestleMania. Yes, there are some a little fudges there, but if you want to check that out, that's very good, too. WrestleMania 3, Steamboat Savage. Let me tell you something. Okay. Anybody who is a wrestling fan, I don't care if you're now or you're old school, you must check this match out, okay? They wanted to perform so well, according to what I read on PW Insider, they rehearsed it for weeks and had the sequences going, and you could tell how beautiful this was. It is art in wrestling, okay? It is so beautiful. The Mega Powers, you know, WrestleMania 4 and 5. Him against the Ultimate Warrior in WrestleMania 7. Against Ric Flair in WrestleMania 8. You know, the whole fact that the Intercontinental title meant something when he wore it.
The finals of the tournament to crown the champion, was it WrestleMania 6?
4.
WrestleMania 4, okay, that was with DiBiase, correct?
Correct.
I mean, that was another great match, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were talking about WrestleMania 3. Hogan and Andre the Giant may have sold the tickets and got people in the door, but it was Savage and Steamboat that kept those people on their feet, because that was an amazing match.
Amen. Amen.
One of the greatest of all time, no doubt in my mind.
All right, gentlemen, just for our listeners out there, if you didn't happen to have a Randy Savage story that you would like to tell us, we're actually going to open the phones up tonight, and I think Carl's already warned us about this. The number is 718 664-6589. And please, no crank calls. You will be hung up on and ridiculed for 5 minutes. I do have somebody waiting on the line. Carl, go ahead and open up that. Open up this other one.
I just want to say, I don't want to make light, but I just remember all the just the weird promos from Macho Man. Those were, to me, what I will remember him best for.
And you're not the only one, because his wonderful promos and bizarre comments became a staple of Matthew's Botchamania series. He opened many of his older Botchamanias with about 30 seconds of Randy Savage being Randy Savage. Matthew also brought us the meme life into the danger zone, and it's pretty much stuck thanks to the elaborate intro that now replaces the insane Randy Savage commentary.
And you know what, Nikki?
Go ahead. Yeah, DJ?
Nikki, I think it's appropriate to be funny at some points during what, of course, is such a serious matter, because that's the definition of corpsing. And you know, who do you send for? You send for the man whenever there's corpsing.
Absolutely.
And then it was Macho Man.
Wow. Okay.
No,
absolutely.
Oh, no. Somebody. Oh, Matthew, if you're listening, please call in, because we're going to have to get you a new video.
Yeah.
Whether Randy Orton mad dashing through backstage, or Triple H chasing Legacy through backstage, or some goofy mess with the Nexus and Mark Henry. Yeah, that one.
Is the caller still on the line?
That was Forfeit. That was the one we brought in.
Oh, that was Forfeit. I didn't know if it was an outside caller. I didn't know. Just because I wanted to just double check and get a name and all that. So, okay.
No problem. I think we've got another one of our staff on the line. Go ahead and open that up, Carl. Is that you, Typho?
Yeah, it's me.
You said, I saw you pop up in chat, and you said you had a story for us.
Yeah, I did. My story probably, it's a little bit different because I started actually watching wrestling in like mid-1991, and I was started by a friend who was a wrestling fan who just over time kind of got me into it, and I got into it with him just by like watching old tapes and stuff, but nothing really comes to mind of watching it actually live or live on tape, as the case may be at the time. But the first thing I really, really remember vividly is probably, I guess it was probably late 91, when Randy Savage he's fighting for his reinstatement after he'd lost the retirement match. He's trying to get reinstated to have his match with Jake the Snake Roberts. We had all the Jack Tunney promos, stipulations, the King Cobra biting. But Savage, eventually he gets reinstated, and this is like my first real big wrestling memory. He has a match on, I want to say Superstars. He just comes out and just obliterates Paul Roma in about 45 seconds, and then cuts a promo on Jake Roberts, and that was, I can honestly say from that moment, Randy Savage became the first wrestler I was really a fan of.
And I've heard a lot about the Cobra incident. I should research this footage, because that's the creepiest one. I didn't know about the snake bite on Elizabeth. So that tells you how bad of a wrestling fan I might be sometimes.
There's also a match that I feel, when people talk about great Randy Savage matches, you obviously get your Steamboats, Flairs, Hogan's, all that. One I really remember well, I thought it was a great match. I'm sure not many people actually remember it, but it was from his WCW run. It was I guess it had to be 95. It was on a WCW Saturday night when he had a TV title match against Arn Anderson, who was the champion. And this was at the time where the TV title had the, I think it was a 15-minute time limit. And they would always, one of the big gimmicks of the matches was they always would stretch to the time limit. But for like 14 minutes and 50 seconds, Savage and Arn Anderson have a great match. They're counting down, and Savage is going through his finishing routine, double axe handle, all that. He goes up, he hits the elbow drop, covers. He gets one, two, and then the bell rings and the time limit expires. And I remember almost crying because I was just a little kid. But I just remember that match being really great.
That's a great memory, Tyson. I remember that match now that you you recalled that. That was pretty sweet.
I remember Colonel Robert Parker was managing Arn Anderson at the time, and he's going crazy at ringside trying to get Arn up.
Some definite classic moments. Now, Tyson, when did you hear the news?
It was actually later in the day today. I was working, and I didn't really have access to anything at the time, but I was on my way home, and I looked at my phone, and my friend had sent me a message. He said, all it said, it said, did you hear about Macho Man? And I had not, but just from that message, I pretty much guessed what it probably was, and I got home, looked it up. I would say it was late afternoon, probably like 5.
Just, you know, this is going to be another one of those guys that you're going to remember where you were and what you were doing when the news broke.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
agreed.
I mean, it's just that Savage will not be just known. I mean, see, what Savage is known, I think, will be known for. He was not the most... he was not the most necessarily prolific wrestler, but he was always consistent, okay? He was always consistently good. He was not necessarily consistently, you know, he was consistent. He was, you know, there was never really a bad match, but he always entertained you. Always. Always entertained you.
Mm-hmm. So, let me grab. I see I've got another person waiting to come in. Carl, go ahead and open up that line. VRM, is that you, sir?
Hello.
Good evening. Who are we speaking to?
Oh yes, Napa Joint Oak Tree.
Perfect. So who am I speaking to, please?
I think you're speaking to a moron.
Yes. He said, oh, yes, snap into an oak tree. Very nice.
There's a button
very
for that.
As Arlie Ermey would ask, did that man's parents have any children that lived?
That's sometimes the risk you take going live, but we'll maintain the phone calls and what have you. Because there are, for every one of those, there are 100, if not more, who want to share their memories of a damn fine wrestler and performer in the entertainment field. Let's keep it what it is. And one of the memories I have, one of the thoughts I have, and I think it was touched on earlier, is the fact that, you know, this time last year, or the summer of last year, I remember doing one of the other podcasts WrestleChat has a hand in, the It's Still Real to show that Jeff Peck and Eric Arjulo have a hand in. And I was a guest panelist, and it was the week that I believe Savage was at, I believe, Comic-Con in Southern California. And he was, you know, doing the demos for the action figures and what have you. He was representing WWE in a somewhat official capacity. And he had said something along the lines that this next upcoming year is going to be the year of the Macho Man. And as soon as I hear that and see one, the equation, the abacus of my mind is saying 1 + 1 = 2, there's got to be some way Savage is getting back on TV in the next few months. I really believed in my heart of hearts that we would see Savage never wrestling again, but back on WWE television. And I don't necessarily mean that he would be immediately inducted into the Hall of Fame, which he should have been long ago. We touched on that. They dropped the ball completely with that, and that's, you know, a damn shame. I really thought we would see Savage, like was mentioned, I believe by one of the panelists earlier, in some sort of role as a one-time-only guest host on Raw, as maybe even the Raw GM. How weird would that be? In some sort of role like that, and it could have brought his career full circle, which would have been, you know, given some closure to his career, too.
I think a lot of us would have popped if Macho Man came out as the Raw GM. And then everybody would ask, well, he was typing so coherently. All of those weren't Savage promos, or was Michael Cole just translating them? No, that can't work either, because Josh and Punk and King have already emailed.
All right.
What am I doing? I'm putting logic into wrestling.
Sorry. Yes.
What's that?
And you know what? Bret Hart?
Is there such a thing?
No. Now, speaking of which, now to lead it into a different direction.
Yes.
WWE has put out a tribute statement and a tribute video. Where do you think the tribute is going to be? On Over the Limit or on WWE Raw or both?
What do you think
they're going to do?
Raw, probably.
It has to be on Raw to get to the most number of people possible. It would be fitting because, you know, the first episodes, well, Savage was one of the original announcers on Raw, him, McMahon, and Rob Bartlett. I'd like to forget Rob Bartlett, by the way, but that's just me and most people. And this brings in kind of a slippery slope question again as well. How do they go about it? I think the best way they can do this is to mirror what they did when Eddie Guerrero died. They do the 10-bell salute. They bring everybody out to the stage. And you know what? Screw the storylines. Everybody tell their memories, how it was that they were inspired by watching him fly through the yellow air with the elbow drop for years and years and years. You suspend the pending storylines you have for the next pay-per-view, and you just, I don't want to say this because it's a forbidden word, wrestle. Just wrestle. Pay
Jim,
tribute to him.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Jim. I think that's the way that I would do it if I were running the company. Lord knows that I'm not. Lord knows that it's Vince McMahon. They're a company that's kind of all or nothing. I'd like to see them go the all route. I'd like to see them make it a Randy Savage show. And for them, I don't know if that would surprise me because, let's face it, we're to the point in the wrestling calendar when ratings tend to drop off. I hate to be that cynical, but it's the truth. Ratings drop off, the storylines get kind of dull, and this might be something where they could make it a special, memorable night. And you're not kind of throwing, you're not throwing your storylines, you know. If this was WrestleMania time, it probably wouldn't do a full tribute show. But like I said, you know, WWE is an all or nothing type deal. They're either going to go all out and make it a big deal, or it's going to be a black screen with, you know, his picture and, you know, 19 whatever to 2011, and that's the only mention. Now, the video tribute that they posted online actually was that, you know, his picture and then the dates of his birth and death and then basically the opening to the Macho Man DVD. So there was no special concerted effort to come up with a video package. Now, granted, they didn't have much time, but, you know, that could be what shows up on Monday night. And I don't think it would be appropriate to show it on the pay-per-view. Jim is right, though. You have to get where the most eyeballs are, and that's Monday Night Raw. But if not for that, just the only fact that the name of the pay-per-view is Over the Limit, you know, they have the graphics where the speedometer is going all the way up and, you know, the vehicles and different things. And Randy Savage, you know, tragically he died in a car accident, so I don't know if that's the right forum, you know, to memorialize him.
Wow.
What we're going to get is we might get a placard at Over the Limit, because they probably got the whole show. That whole show is booked out, and you really can't mess with it. They're not going to pull a TNA and do the tribute show at Over the Limit and then throw all their pay-per-view stuff on Raw. It'd be funny, but they're not going to do that. I would love to see a full-blown two-hour tribute show as well. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed for that, because I think that would be the most ideal. The problem is we don't know just how much the fence has been mended between Savage and the Fed, given that, you know, Savage has eased his way in, got the action figure deal, got the All-Stars deals. We still don't know just, you know, how much has been forgiven Randy. Would he be willing to scrap an entire night of programming and storylines for probably one of the biggest names of the rock and wrestling era leading into New Generation?
I think something that's going to come up is that I think Vince McMahon might actually feel pressure to do it because of the level of star that Randy Savage is, which has already been mentioned inside and outside of wrestling, that probably come Monday night, a lot of people are going to be turning to Raw to see if they do something for him, because, I mean, you're talking about a guy that, boom, the big era, rock and wrestling era of the 80s, he was a star. He was a star through the New Generation. Then you get into the late 90s. He was a star. He was in the NWO Wolfpack. I mean, he was well known then as well. So you're talking about the two biggest eras of wrestling. Fans from both who are very familiar with him might be turning to see what they do in honor of the Macho Man. So Vince might feel he has to do something because of how many people are probably going to be watching for that.
And just about a month ago, I'd say, I was on YouTube and I got sucked into a wrestling time hole there. And I remember getting on a kick watching the tributes that played on Monday Night Raw to wrestlers who were passed. Davey Boy Smith, Gorilla Monsoon, Posse Freddie Blassie. These were video packages that were crafted. They were only about a minute or two in length. But they were narrated by Vince McMahon. They were personally narrated by Vince, and it took on kind of a special tone. It was very classically done. You know, this is before the steroids and the wellness policy and, you know, all the negative connotations of the wrestling business and the young deaths in the popular media. But, you know, it's only 1 minute or 2 minutes, and it kind of put over how important they were to the company, to the wrestling business, and those were so well done. And, you know, I can only, you know, do yourself a favor, go out of your way to see the ones that I mentioned, Davey Boy Smith, Gorilla Monsoon, Classy Freddie Blassie. If they could do that for Randy Savage, I mean, only a minute or two, it would be, so many wrestling fans would be pleased, I would think.
Well. Even the anonymous Raw GM has something to say. So we now know that it's not Randy Savage.
Yes.
The Raw GM is simply saying that we all need to stop and take a breath and moment to think about Randy Savage and just savor what he gave wrestling and entertainment. So we're going to take a brief pause here. As part of as North American Wrestling Connection, will return in less than a minute. You're listening to us on the CLW 83 Network, thanks to WrestleChat.net.
WrestleChat.net and the North American Wrestling Connection remember the life and career of Macho Man Randy Savage.
No need to play the 10 bell again, which we did. We did to open the show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. it's a lot to absorb. A man who had a brilliant career in wrestling, a man who was able to transition out of wrestling and into acting, into cartoons, has such an enormous impact on advertising that, you know, he hasn't done a swing in that in probably 20 years, but everybody remembers.
And one thing, Nikki, that I wanted to mention, too, is you talk about him transitioning out of wrestling into mainstream media. Before he was a wrestler, and you mentioned he was born in Columbus, there was another Ohio tie. He played minor league baseball for both the Reds and the Cardinals, and he was a proficient player who, save for 1 year, had some above-average stats. He played in the Florida League, and he probably could have been a solid major leaguer had he been the opportunity to call up. I saw somewhere on baseballreference.com, I'm a big sports nut, he actually tore up his right arm and was released by the Cardinals, but he was so dedicated to his craft that he learned how to throw left-handed. That was just an interesting note about him, and I can even remember last summer, I was at Round Rock, Texas, the minor league affiliate for the Astros, the AA team, and their manager, he was a guy by the name of Mark Bombard. Jim Williams, I don't know. He, if you remember him, he was the first base coach for the Phillies about 5 or 6 years back. But
I think
he was Mark Bomb.
Yeah,
he was in the Reds minor league system in the 70s, which also Savage was. So he was the manager for this Round Rock Express team. My dad was reading his bio that was in the program before the game, I can remember. And he said, I got a trivia question for you. He said, who was Mark Bombard's roommate all throughout his tenure in the Cincinnati Reds minor league system? He told me it's not a guy that ever played in the major leagues, but I should know who he was, and I did, and it was Macho Man Randy Savage, then known as Randy Pyle.
Wow. Wow.
That's awesome.
It just shows you the kind of dedication the guy had to, I mean, to baseball when he was younger. I mean, to try to learn how to, you know, throw with your other hand. That's the same dedication he brought with him into professional wrestling, going that extra mile to make so many matches so memorable over the couple of decades he spent in professional wrestling.
By the way, I just took a quick look at the Twitterverse, and Hogan posted a video, just a 50-second video, basically saying that he regrets the 10 years that he missed, and he looks like he's aged about 15 years. This has hit him legitimately hard. You can't fake this.
You'll see this.
And if that's the case, and I'm not doubting you, Jason, I believe you completely, if that's the case, well, I hate to say it, it's apropos. It really
here we
is.
Go.
I mean, it's sad that it takes tragedy to bring people to...
Jason, I gotta concur with you, man, old man. For those in the chat, here you go, take a look at it yourself.
I'll check that after the show. I believe you guys, because, I mean, you see, as I said, during the rock and wrestling years. And, as I said, he was pretty much that number two. The only other rock and wrestling that was probably willing to play this hard is if we need Hogan. The fact that Savage's passing has been picked up by major media outlets, made the ESPN crawl. I understand. I don't know if any of you guys watch PTI or any of the other ESPN talk shows, but there's a couple of guys out there that are big wrestling fans, and apparently a lot of...
I can name you a few.
Pardon?
I can name you a few.
Okay. Yeah, but Monty Jones always wears a heavyweight championship belt when he's on Around the Horn, among others, yeah.
Yeah,
Tony Reale tweeted about it.
I know Jason Smith is a huge wrestling fan. For those who listen late at night, all night with Jason
all night with
Smith.
Which
Jason.
He used to host, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jason Smith.
Robert Flores,
he still hosts, yeah.
Right.
And Jonathan Coachman, of course, as well, who
you know, is now with ESPN, transitioned seamlessly into back into sports. Tweeted it like losing one of the family, one of the fraternity, pretty much. So it transcends more than just wrestling. It truly does. I mean, you know, wrestling gets the rap that it gets, sometimes rightly, sometimes wrongly, but this is a person who had an impact in some small way and provided an escape in some small way for me and for millions of others watching him perform his craft. And if I may, one story, it harkens back to my days with my dad, growing up as a kid, sitting down, watching primetime wrestling, watching superstars, and seeing him perfect his craft. And Dad actually got a chance to, shall we say, interact with the Macho Man. This was in his days in WCW. I don't remember the exact year. It's kind of fuzzy, and God knows, God, I wish I could ask him, Dad, now about that. But it was in the mid to late 90s. I want to say it was a Nitro at the Spectrum, or if not, it was a house show at the Spectrum in Philadelphia. And he was ringside with a bunch of his coworkers. He was in the painting business, and he had, you know, afforded himself the ability to get ringside tickets. And you know how they say the camera adds 10 pounds? Well, if Dad were here, he would say when it came to the Macho Man, the camera added about 100 pounds of muscle and about 10 feet in height. Because one of his buddies from work actually touched or almost snatched one of the championship belts. And Savage comes out, he's, you know, looking at him like, what the heck, and he's taunting them, and Dad's, like, in his face wanting to beat the crap out of him. Pretty much, Dad and Macho Man almost have it out there at ringside. And the one thing I remember my father telling me, because, you know, I hailed to the Macho Man. I thought he was, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. He's like, what, Dad, don't you know who that is? I'm like a teenager. I'm just a kid at this point. I'm like, don't you know what you're doing? You're going to get killed. And Dad had told me, he looked so puny. He's like a short guy. He didn't have muscles. I could have kicked his... Just one of those things that just stands out, you know. But you know, we all have those stories in some way, shape, or form where, you know, it's just a sad thing, and you know, obviously thoughts and prayers to his family and what have you, and I hope Dad's running away in heaven, because somebody with a Slim Jim big is snapping at the bit to get after him, I think, for going after a title belt or something. And Dad's probably looking down at me like, Jim, you completely botched the story, but that's okay.
Jim.
He was running for Macho now because they're going to run into each other at some point.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And they'll probably have a beer and hug it out, so it's all good. There's my story, per se. I think I watched him the one Nitro I went to in 97 as well. With Dad, but you know, and I'm sure my story in terms of, you know, watching on TV a father and a son that plays out in not just my house, but probably hundreds of thousands of households over the 80s and 90s.
Along with a few other wonderful things, every now and again, you guys have seen out on the internet, you know, you're too big of a wrestling fan when, and
yeah.
if it's an old school. There's always, you propose to somebody in Macho Man's voice.
What?
Will you be my wife? Yeah.
Hey, would you like to spend the rest of your life with me?
Oh, yeah, freak out.
Oh, boy.
You just opened up the biggest can of worms in the history of this show, I think.
It's the funniest thing I ever read, because unfortunately, I didn't hear the original proposal, but I saw the charity tribute when Jay Lethal did it to SoCal Val. And it made me, the original was probably so passionate, but back in your mind, you're still left with that voice. That voice that you're not going to be able to get out of your head for about a week now.
And the funny thing is, Jay Lethal, let's talk about Jay Lethal for a moment and Black Machismo and all this sort of stuff. How cool was it that Macho Man Randy Savage was so over, he got over in two different gimmicks with two different wrestlers?
Exactly, two different human beings, for God's sakes.
I've got a funny little memory relating to that, Jason, and I'm sure Nikki will remember if I jog her memory. It was the first ever TNA house show I'd ever attended, and that was in Troy, Ohio. And Jay Lethal was doing the Black Machismo gimmick at the time. And there was a guy there, there's a gentleman, and he usually attends a lot of shows in the state of Ohio. I remember seeing him in Cleveland, among other places. But he always dressed up as Hulk Hogan, and he looks the part. And they were doing one of their meet-and-greet episodes, TNA, that they're famous for, after the show, around the ring, around the barricade. And I snapped this picture, and I have it on my hard drive, and I should post it on Facebook. But it is this Hulk Hogan character, this fan playing the Hulk Hogan character, shaking hands with Jay Lethal. And it was my WrestleCrap signature for a while, but I had stated in there that the mega powers are making up at last.
I have a picture, and the only thing that was missing was that Lethal was in city. If Lethal had stayed in costume, the picture would have been perfect.
I have had the pleasure to meet and work with Mr. Lethal once or twice, so very, very quiet, very nice guy.
Let's see. I've got somebody. It looks like we're going to have another staffer poke his head in here. Let's go ahead and get him in. Andy, good evening.
Hey, what's going on?
We're still talking about Rick Savage. You got a story or two for us?
I have kind of a Macho Man story. It's probably more Black Machismo than Macho Man, but it kind of, you know, because of Macho Man, this happened. Well, I was watching TNA, I think, right when Jay Lethal started the Black Machismo gimmick. And I'm downstairs in my basement just watching TV, hanging on my computer, whatever. And my dad comes downstairs, and he's never really been a big fan of wrestling, as far as I knew. And he sat down there for a minute. He came down and sat next to me and said, you know who he's copying off of, right? And I said, yeah, wasn't it like Macho Man Randy Savage? And my dad goes, yeah, you know who that is? I said, yeah, you know, why, you know, I'm a wrestling fan. Why wouldn't I at least know who he is, you know? And my dad goes, oh, okay, cool. And then he sat down there for another half hour, and we just started talking wrestling. And I think that was the closest at that point. I was like maybe 15 or something. And that was probably the closest I had been to my dad. So because of, you know, Macho Man, you know, and then Jay Lethal using that as kind of his gimmick, you know, brought me closer to my dad. So in a weird roundabout sort of way, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage helped me get closer to my own dad, which was kind of, you know, unexpected, but it's one thing that I can remember from him, not having, you know, really seen any of his matches, but at least knowing who he is, knowing, you know, what kind of personality he was, you know, just kind of roundabout helped me get closer to my own dad.
Very cool. Very cool.
Now I'm going to have to look up the picture. You got go ahead and talk. Oh shoot! I'm with my desktop on the fritz, and I don't have it on my laptop. No, I was at Lockdown 07, the fiasco that yes was burning the room 101. But this was one of the nights that Jay Lethal really took off. He came out gorgeous rainbow checkerboard ensemble with the longest arms. The whole it was mind-blowing how just this is.
but I don't access the picture right now. Remember how fitting this costume was, how spot it was with witness snowfall on Thursdays. Looking something up, Randy. I hear around.
You're also breaking up a little bit too, Nikki.
Yeah, a little bit there. Somebody's watching their TV, I guess, while they're on the phone with us. Quick reset while we're getting everything situated. The show normally goes 60 minutes, but tonight we're going 90, if not longer, because of the obvious news of the passing of the Macho Man Randy Savage, age 58.
Due to a motor vehicle accident, which may or may not have been caused by a heart attack.
We'll find out with the autopsy in the coming days, definitely.
Right, and his wife of less than 1 year,
mm-hmm.
Was in the car with him as well.
Right, under 1 year.
He sustained minor injuries, I believe.
Yes.
Just wanted to mention something that Nikki had touched on earlier when she asked me if I had met Randy Savage. I did not, in fact, meet Randy, but I did have the opportunity to meet his brother, Lanny, who was also known as Leaping Lanny Poffo, or the Genius, in the WWF, WWE. Last year, it was at the IWC Night of Legends show in Franklin, and Nikki, I believe you had the opportunity to go to that same show this year.
This year, and he's a worker.
Yeah, and Lanny was predictably broken up about the death of his father last year. That was in April. His father had passed in March. So I offered him condolences on the passing of his father, and then I asked him a question during the Q&A portion of the show about what it was like to grow up in a wrestling family. And before he answered my question, he rattled off this tremendous poem. It was a great tribute to his father, and then told me, he answered my question that he was damn proud and damn lucky to grow up the son of Angelo Poffo and the brother of Randy Poffo, and that he loved them so much. So, you know, in retrospect, in hindsight, it's incredibly sad now to know that he lost both his father and his brother in the span of a little over a month. And if you do know Lanny, he's a very smart guy. I know he's hard at work now working on a tribute to his brother, and if we know one thing, in the next few days, he's going to come up with one hell of a eulogy for the Macho Man.
Nikki, I sent you some tweets from some wrestlers if you want to read those.
Where'd you send them so I can go find them?
On your AOL.
Okay, that'll take just a minute.
Also, on WrestleChat, there's a good collection Brett put of a whole bunch of tweets wrestlers sent all day.
And I talked with Brett this afternoon, and not to toot his own horn or anything, but he told me he does the overwhelming majority of the updates for the site himself, and he's been working the story completely nonstop all late morning and afternoon and early evening. So kudos to Brett for following all the tweets. There's like Carl mentioned, a massive collection of tweets over at WrestleChat.net. If you're not one who's on to Twitter, or if you don't follow on Twitter, that's a good place to get an idea of what those in the wrestling community believe, and their thoughts and feelings at this rough time.
Mm-hmm.
Last I counted was like 80 or so.
80 different wrestlers, huh?
Yeah.
One of my favorite ones that I'm reading now was actually Jeff Jarrett's once. He said, "Just got a call with the news, RIP Randy. I met him when I was 11. He would always teach, correct, encourage, and compliment as my career progressed. I have never forgotten the intricacies and attention to detail he taught me over the years. Randy always had a method to his madness. Randy is gone, but he never will be forgotten. Thoughts and prayers are with the entire Poffo family. And he may be the greatest card player the business has ever seen. When he lost, he was only setting you up to take more money from you."
There you go.
Okay. I don't see your email there, Jason.
It wasn't an email, it was an IM.
Didn't pop up in the IM, but give me a sec.
Time to do another copy and paste in the chat in a second here.
I don't have it, Jason.
All right. Let me just send your... Can you check your regular email box if I send it to you?
Yeah.
And now Flair's talked about him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that just got put up not too long ago.
I don't have Flair's Twitter, but...
No, this is on this is the top story in Russell Chats.
Okay, hold on.
Okay. Also, a couple of released videos. See, Honky Tonk Man's got one. Bret Hart pulled one out. Virgil's even put a video out.
Oh, he's going to make it $20 somehow. Oh,
DP.
Sorry.
Uh-oh. Jeez, yeah.
Wow. Everybody's got a run.
Boy.
Yeah.
What just happened?
Nikki, the truth is often said in jest, and you're absolutely right on Virgil. Yes. Oh, my
you can
God.
Me, I can be booed if necessary.
No. No.
Then for the
no,
man.
No.
I didn't hear what she said about Virgil. What'd she say?
He's got to earn his $20 somehow.
Man. When you're at an autograph table by yourself all day, you're not making too much money.
Yes, and then, yes, Macho Man, and Macho Man has made ESPN. I'm looking at ESPN's page right now. It's one of the top stories there.
Yeah, but like I said, go ahead.
He was
also on the bottom line, too, on the ESPN.com or ESPN programming. They actually mentioned it, I think, on SportsCenter or ESPN News. And they also displayed the statement from the WWE. And, you know, people on SportsCenter, they tend to make fun of the WWE and professional wrestling, but this was handled very seriously, very professionally, and that shows the respect that they had for the Macho Man as an athlete and as a performer.
Jim Ross, who, when he first came to the Fed, as it was known back then, blogging on his company website, I'll just condense it a little bit. He talked about his time when he was broadcasting. When I arrived in WWE in 1993, Savage was unknown to me on his way out. Randy, Bobby Heenan, and I broadcast WrestleMania 9 from ringside at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas on my first live TV assignment for WWE. Broadcasting with Macho Man was never easy, but it was also never dull. He was as unpredictable wearing headsets as he was in wrestling tights. He went on near the end to say, "Fans of the genre of pro wrestling lost one of the most famous and skilled performers of all time this morning in Tampa when the former WWE champion apparently had a heart attack while driving his vehicle with his wife of 1 year, who was the sole passenger. Our condolences go out to the Poffo family, Macho Man's friends and fans, and to all whose lives were touched by Macho Madness. Rest in peace, Macho Man Randy Savage." The words of Hall of Fame announcer Jim Ross.
There you go.
Go ahead, Carl.
Meanwhile, I'm looking at this Ric Flair interview here. Wow, that's a must read.
Let's see. Oh, many of the wrestlers that did post, even goofy stuff such as Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins. I'm going to pull up a picture that Zack tweeted. If I can get it to come open. I think this is the one where he's posing with one of the little wrestling pillow buddy.
I think that was Hawkins.
Who among us didn't have one of those growing up as a kid?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Who's in their 20s.
I've actually been looking through some photo albums trying to find. I have a picture of myself from Christmas morning 1993, I think, opening up my Macho King Randy Savage wrestling buddy.
I know I had the Ted DiBiase one, the Hogan one, and the Macho Man one, and, you know. Hey, I was a kid of the early 90s, late 80s, what can I say?
Most of us were, Jimbo.
Yeah. In that picture, I am wearing my Ninja Turtle pajamas, by the way.
Oops, I stand corrected. Zack Ryder had the real thing.
Yeah, there's a picture of Zack Ryder with Macho Man when he was about, when only he was just a woo. Okay.
Back when he was a mini broski.
Yeah, when he was.
Oh.
And he was still wearing a headband.
Well, there you go. This was before the broski in a bottle came into play, I assume. Yes.
Let's see. By the way,
speaking of broski in a bottle, Scott Stanford has been, over the last couple of weeks, become a major doofus in the whole Zack Ryder internet thing. Oh, my God.
And you say it like it's a bad thing.
No, I don't, because Scott Stanford is a nut. I actually know the guy. He's very funny and a really good guy. Wow.
Yeah,
you've
got to get him on the show.
Help him up. Come on. You've
got to pull a string or two. Come on.
You know what? I might. I'll see what I can do.
Please.
I'd mark out. I would mark out, because I'm trying to get a hold of this guy on Twitter, but come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Jason,
I know exactly how to push the button to get you to do this. I dare you to get Scott Stanford on this show.
Oh, snap.
Oh.
Watch
just
my smoke. I'll do it.
Question, just to ask him the question, how does this slip by Channel 4 management that you get to say, woo, 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 you can know it for a Robinson Cano home run?
Wow. he did say that?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yes, he did.
Chris Berman calls him
a broskies. Yes.
Chris Berman called gimmick infringement.
Absolutely.
Maybe next, during his sports cast, he'll bring in the Big O to do something with us.
The Big O will put Chuck Scarborough in a sleeper hold.
Stanford will have Zack Ryder and John Morrison figures on his desk.
Hofos, yes.
Fighting each other.
Yeah. No, that would be Robert Flores.
Oh.
Anyway. But I'm serious, Jason. I dare you.
All right. You got it. Okay. You got it.
Think of it this way. Ratings. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That stands for equals ratings. The Fed hasn't figured that out yet.
Okay.
But actually,
if you have Stanford on, you might as well ask him to get Ryder to come with him.
I think Cena's already having Ryder.
Ryder would do it. Oh, my goodness, Ryder would do it, too.
Now, he has no shame. He's one of us, more or less. Come on.
Yeah.
Hell,
Oh, Ryder's younger than me.
If you're listening, bro, you're welcome. You know you're welcome.
We could be honorary broskies of the week.
Which begs the question, well, then we'd really be off to the races.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
which begs the question, does that make Nikki a brosquette? Or a baby?
What?
Oh, jeez.
Because she can't be a broski because she's female.
Maybe she would be a broski. You know, I don't know.
Hey!
Well, we're
out of it.
I
thought you said brisket. Anyway. Now I'm starting to get hungry.
Yeah.
There you go. let's see. Getting back to topic here.
I'm willing to change topics because I think we've spent 75 minutes on it.
I want to go back to one quick thing, and this is from WrestleChat. Matter of fact, there are conflicting reports according to PW Insider on what they're going to do in the coming days. There is a report the production team was ordered to work on a video piece honoring him for television programming this coming week. Initial news said that they would pay tribute to him in some way at the pay-per-view. However, they're now saying no tribute is planned, at least for Sunday. So it's conflicting at this point.
Let's just hope they do it Monday. If they don't do anything Monday, people are going to be pissed. Plain and simple.
Exactly.
I think that's the no-shit moment of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, the one other story that Nikki and... Well, hopefully, Nikki, you don't mind if I take this one. The one that really stuck in my head this week was a non-related story. Now, as you know, a couple of weeks ago, the UFC announced that they would cover all health insurance for all their performers. 100%, if I remember the news story correctly. WWE this week said, we're not going to cover anything that would be outside of, what was it, physical therapy, rehab, and surgery, if I remember the news, correct, Nikki?
They'll cover the cost of for injuries sustained in the ring that might require surgery, and rehab would probably be included with that. They also cover substance abuse of talent under contract or anyone who was previously employed with the company. Outside of that, they have asked all of their workers to carry their own insurance. Now, I can see why Vince is doing this. Number one, he's putting the burden on the workers because they are still independent contractors. Number two, there is not a health company on the planet that is going to take 75 high-risk individuals like that under any group policy that anybody, not even a billionaire like Vince McMahon, can afford. After the Lloyd's of London blow-up with Mick Foley back in the 90s, this is why Vince has done most of the medical coverage out of pocket. With Obamacare, or whatever you want to call it, I don't want to get political, looming in the distance, this is something that was going to have to be addressed. Some will see it as a knee-jerk to UFC, but this might also be something that can, you know, that Vince would have had to deal with down the line, so maybe jump on it now. That's how I see it.
I mean, it's a very interesting decision. I think this affects more of the mid-card guys than, say, a John Cena, Triple H, or anything like that.
Triple H has an office job now, so he can actually be covered under the company insurance.
Ah.
So he doesn't have to worry about that.
Yes, but you understand what I mean, though.
No. I understand. The John Cena's, the Randy Orton's, those guys aren't going to have a problem. They make six figures, borderline seven. We're worried about the guys with the upper five-figure salaries that are going to be showing out. Go ahead, DJ.
I was just going to say, I don't know. I think it will affect Randy Orton because, remember, he has to have three or four wives on his policy that he has to cover.
Yeah, the Playboy wife, the real wife. Yes.
The one in the bus.
The bus wife.
Yeah, the one that he was hiding in Hunter's. Why was he hiding her in Hunter's bus? I still want to know the answer to this. Was she Hunter's
bus? Don't we all?
Or something?
Hey, evolution is a mystery.
So was he swapping with Dave?
No, he was swapping with Arnold. No, I'm sorry.
Who do you think got the better end of the trade?
Bush, there are no winners here.
Yeah, exactly.
Dave wasn't swapping. Dave take. Dave smash.
Wow.
What's the deal with people going back cheating on their wives for clear people? What's the deal?
Oh my God. Trump got involved. He doesn't like being Trump in that department.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Now I know the real reason Punk was after Orton. He wanted all his wives.
He wanted to save them.
He was done with the locker room. Now he's ready for, the outside challenges.
That's right.
Oh, and by the way, I have to say, CM Punk is a funny bastard because Paul Heyman, your uncle Paul, was basically saying that the WWE, in his words, not mine, was effing up by not using CM Punk correctly. And he said, I don't know why CM Punk always has heat on him. CM Punk, in his infinite wisdom, says, I don't mind always having heat. It keeps me warm.
You ran around in your underwear all day. You'd want a little heat too.
Yeah, he said it keeps me warm. Oh God, it was beautiful. God love you, Punk. God love you, Philip. You're smart.
I don't know what Paul Heyman's talking about with them not using him well. I mean, they're using him to get over Welsh Batista.
Yeah.
Welsh Batista's down. Shut up.
Oh, God. But yeah, wow. No, but getting back actually to the topic of him, the CM Punk thing, I'm sorry, the health insurance thing, do you think this is going to be a while, or do you think that this is more economics than anything else?
Some of it's economic. Part of the deal, like I said, I just think that that Vince is putting that money, you know, making the wrestlers pay for it, mainly because he wants to keep them, you know, he wants to keep the independent contractor tag in place. A couple of people, if they're not pointing at UFC, they're pointing at Daphne Unger.
Yes.
Because her lawsuit is still pending. I don't know, you know, I don't know the status of this. But I know that it's injuries that's got her all hot and bothered regarding TNA, and not in a good way. Oh, I'm sorry. Impact Wrestling.
Yes. Am I blue?
And their SmackDown.
How soon you forget.
And their SmackDown or Thunder Blue Ropes.
Thunder Rock Wall entrance.
Is it wrong that when I saw the Impact set, I thought of David Cross on Arrested Development saying the words, "I blew myself"?
Oh, no.
Ouch. Ouch. Ouch.
Wow,
I'll
indeed.
Do that, man.
No. Now, if I remember the lawsuit going back to Daphne Unger, she is suing TNA because...
Hitting my butt. I was not trying to make it better. I was just stating a thought. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
She's suing TNA because she worked. She had an injury, and TNA made her work through it and past it. Correct?
I believe so.
Okay. So, yeah, that's going to be very interesting because if she wins, oh boy. That could change the wrestling industry forever from a unionization, non-independent contractor, the whole nine yards thing.
Well, that might happen anyway with the insurance thing because there was speculation that when there's money, the fact that this is going to be a money issue for the workers, maybe they all get under... one or two specific agents and try to get group policies and then start getting group bargaining going. You've got the fledgling start of a union, and Vince, it could sneak up on him. This could really sneak up on him and boot him in the butt. Chat room's wondering what's going on. You can't hear us?
Should be on.
We hear you.
Chat room says they can't hear us.
On live air. Well, podcast. Listen in post.
I think they might have been booted into archive.
Mike, I don't know.
What happened was Skype kicked me off a few minutes ago, and I had to call on my phone.
Well, you were in charge of the soundboard, I think the show got ended by Skype.
But we're all still on the line here, so...
Yeah.
It's recording.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
We're going to end up in archive in about 2 minutes anyway. Because we hit the major things, the Randy Savage stuff, which, you know, wonderful stories, wonderful stuff from everybody tonight on that.
Do we want to do final thoughts on Savage, or?
Let's see. We only got a minute. I think we just, you know, let's just glide into archive, and we can wrap it up in there. Because I really don't want to cut anybody off. If anybody's going to get cut off, let it be me. Although, Carl, if you want, you can. How about you play us a bumper to get us into archive? That might be the answer here.
I don't think we'd be cut off. Like I said, I'm on my phone now.
Okay. No, I'm just saying we're going into archive in less than a minute. I just wanted something to carry us in there.
Oh. Let's see. We'll carry this into it. Here we go.
Bird!
Okay.
It's just like that, we're in archive.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Durf.
Thank you, Zach.
I've given up trying to figure out the logic of Mr. Chenier years ago, so it's all good.
Hey, kiss my ass. Who asked you?
Hey, watch it.
Now, was that a soundbite, or we're going to have to get that one later?
Well, that was him live.
I'll get it later.
Okay, so DJ, that was this was your idea. Any final thoughts about the Randy Savage thing?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, if I ever hear thunder again during a bad storm, I'll know it's Macho Man with a flying elbow drop on an angel. Rest in peace, Macho. Your madness was too much for this world.
Jim, you got one?
What more that needs to be said can be said aside from rest in peace, Godspeed, and say hi to Dad up there and hopefully don't beat him up.
Seriously, as an you could see how this affected so many people because of any 80s baby was affected today. Seriously, without question. This is a sad day for a wrestling fan in 80s pop culture, plain and simple.
Fourth, are you still with us? And if you got anything else to say that won't get you in trouble?
I was just going to say one of my favorite non-wrestling-related lines that Macho Man ever said was on an episode of King of the Hill. I can't remember what the context of it was, but it was kind of a fun saying. He went, no agony, no braggony.
Oh, okay.
Awesome. Typho, you still with us? You got a few words?
Yeah. It was an honor being able to watch everything I got to watch from Macho Man Randy Savage from the early 90s until the last time he wrestled, and he was always inspirational to me, and I'll look back on his career with fond memories, and I'll always remember it.
Andy?
Andy's
gone. Or did we
lose
Andy?
Okay. He left a little
awkward. Okay. Anybody, did I miss anybody that's still on right now?
I'll say something.
Go ahead, Carl.
I'll say it directly. Randy, thank you for making me believe in wrestling. So to watch your matches, especially your matches with Flair, DDP, and the later part of your career. Because that's when I really started getting into wrestling. Thanks for making me believe.
And all I can say is that I know you're heading up there. You give Miss Elizabeth a hug. You give Miss Sherry a hug. And do not cut a promo on the other guy with the white beard.
Just let him corpse all he wants.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Good God. All right.
Hey guys, I gotta take off. My phone is dying. So if the rapture does come tomorrow and this is the last time we speak, I'll just let you go with it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, I'm gonna good night, guys. Okay. And yeah, Nikki, awesome job. Seriously.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Night.
This is
at least up there for the time being. Snake Roberts can't ruin anything.
Oh. I think it's getting to be happy hour here, gang. man.
Mm-hmm.
So am I allowed to make my joke now? The one that I told you earlier.
Out of your system.
Go ahead.
Okay, guys. just keep your finger over the room 101 button, Carl, just in case.
Okay.
After all, I'm the only one on the panel tonight who has not done the Macho Man voice. Art thou dead?
Oh. Hit it. Thank you. Might need to go two or three more times. Oh.
I'm sorry. Seriously, let me know.
All right.
Okay, you're being safe.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm so sorry.
Until the next round.
Yeah.
But for a tribute show, we had this was some great stuff. There was only one other piece of news, and even that could wait a week if you want, because there might be more to it. And that was the whole deal with Terry Taylor in TNA.
Yeah, leaving his being relieved of his duties of head of talent there. Yeah.
Rather forcefully.
We can reserve our cock jokes for later, I guess.
There's about a page and a half of them on the fan boards, and so take your pick. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
Lord. So
let's just
live.
Hope he doesn't become Johnny Ace's new assistant.
No,
conflicts of interest there.
No, I just have this bad image that, yeah, he's going to get rehired for talent relations at the Fed, and he's going to be working directly under Triple H.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Just put your imagination. Go ahead.
He'll have to fetch Triple H a sledgehammer every morning for him or something.
Well, no. I mean, Triple H has mentioned that he's bi about a lot of things.
But in League 8, one of them. Yeah.
Wait, what? But I'm not going to pick on the evil doc. I can pick on Terry Taylor if I want.
For those who don't get the reference, find King of the Ring 98 during the Shamrock Rock finals match for the King of the Ring tournament.
With Terry Taylor's supposed successor in TNA, I guess TNA Talent Relations now is going to have a whole lot of love to give.
Yeah.
I bet he'll love all the talent.
I was going to ask, do you think he'll be able to run things pretty well, or do you think he'll start running it into the ground?
Something worse.
Well, he worked directly under Vince McMahon for 2 decades, so.
It depends, man. It depends on whether or not Steve Kern's job is still going to be intact in the next few months. Once Hunter and company get a really good look at what's going on at FCW and they find the Orton cloning machine.
Oh, man.
We know the Batista cloning machine works.
Super Orton will live again.
Yeah, actually, they did that one. They did a pretty good job on. The only thing is that it's about 90% accurate. It's the poor guy lacks in the promo department.
There you go.
Green, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They did screw up a little bit on the Triple H cloning machine. They got a little Kurt Hawkins in there and came up with Jacob Novak.
Wow.
One wonders how much of this will be in the final version of the show, folks.
Probably about 15 minutes.
Okay. Only kidding.
Gentlemen, I do appreciate everybody sticking around for the extra half an hour on such short notice. I am going to have to wrap up because tomorrow I am going to be on the road all day.
There you go.
Stay safe as always.
Oh, yeah. Myself, Super Oprah, and possibly referee Todd Frizzell will be heading up to Michigan for Victory Independent Pro Wrestling. Love working up there. Too bad Andy's not here, so I could tell him that I'll be saying hi to Mr. Joseph Schwartz. of the original kosher club who used to work down at IPW. But a lot of the IPW faithful, including a bunch of Billy Rock students, are working up there with us. So it's gonna be fun.
I heard Michigan, and I got hopeful that you were going up to work with the Juggalos.
No. Alas, no.
You could have said hi to Officer Colt Cabana for us.
Unfortunately, no, I'm not going to be working with, I value my life. I currently do not work with clowns.
Always make that your policy.
And to be honest, the only clown that I've had close interactions with was over at Joe Louis after a show. He was drunk. And we were at the top of that really long staircase on the one side, near the main entrance of JLA. I wanted to find out if clowns could fly.
Oh, no.
You could have got him to stumble over to Cobo Hall. He worked for the Giant, and he survived.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. I was going to make a Tim Burton Batman reference to tell you that clowns can't fly, but I can't even think of a way to do that.
I'd go with the WKRP Turkey reference, quite frankly. I swear to God, I thought clowns could fly.
It would have been my defense, and I might have gotten away with it. It was Detroit, after all.
Well, I mean, if you had Les Nessman near you, you could have gotten away with it, too, because you know, he could have been the accessory to the crime, so.
I don't think it's been on me.
Jeez.
Alrighty.
All right, gentlemen. I know Carl's pretty much wiped out. I've had a lot of fun tonight, and I appreciate all the memories that have been brought up. So I am going to go get some sleep, and I recommend everybody else do the same.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fixing to.
And should the rapture happen tomorrow, damn it, it'll be before work starts anyway.
You got
it's already tomorrow somewhere, and we're still here.
That's true. Yes, I'm waiting for the non-rapture sex party that Craig Ferguson's robot skeleton sidekick is having on Facebook. That'll be awesome.
Shouldn't Australia already be halfway through?
Okay, I think I'm going to end the show on the Jeff Peterson reference.
Yes! Sex party! There you go.
All right, good night, guys.
On that note, I think I'm out, too. Good night, everybody.
All right.
Thank
Good night,
you.
Guys. Thanks for listening in.
Good night.
All right. All right. All right.
No.
Night.
CLWA3.com is your source for everything CLWA3. You can catch any of our shows on demand anytime at blogtalkradio.com/CLWA3network. Also check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and our feed on iTunes.